Blog Talk Radio.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright.
Good Shepherd Church in Inwood, and they had doo-wop music, and they would do one doo-wop song, and then the band would come on, and the band was Latin, and I thought I was in paradise, man. A slow dance, a fast dance, mucho señoritas. It was beautiful. I thought, this is the world, man. This is how the world lives. It was beautiful. And it was BD, baby, before drugs. Before drugs. Oh, there were drugs, you just didn't know about it. You were too naive. Yeah, well, don't you wish we were all naive today? I mean, what are the two biggest industries in the United States? Abortion clinics and drug rehab units. Yeah, we're really, we're capitalists. Yeah, we're building monuments to our bad habits. Okay, what can I tell you? I went and saw Noah last night. Noah! Noah! You know, there's a car cover named Noah. And now I know how they got the name. It was to protect the car from the rain. Yeah. You know, a good car cover breathes. Did you know that? You never get a car cover that doesn't breathe. If it doesn't breathe, it's going to eat the paint. It's going to lift the paint off your car. I saw the movie Noah last night. In spite of religious warnings and the fact that the producer was an atheist, all I can say is that the main characters were missing: Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, and Jabba the Hutt. I can only repeat the exclamation in Brooklynese of the guy sitting behind me. What the is this? WTF, man. Yeah. I fell back to the successful Bible movies of old. Ben-Hur, The Silver Chalice, The Robe, Samson and Delilah, followed by David and Bathsheba. I can even remember who starred David, Gregory Peck. And the girl's name was Susan Haywood, who played the Bathsheba. And they always had the 1 foot on the floor. That was a Hollywood rule. All sex scenes, you had to have, if you were on a bed, 1 foot had to be on the floor. And then I drew the line, because then they went crappy. They went sicko. Hollywood went sicko. And they tried to pass off a Bible story created by Oliver Stone. Yes, the Bible story you've heard of, Samson and Delilah and David and Bathsheba. Now we give you Nick and Gloria, starring Oliver Stone as Gloria. And we're in trouble. I never knew, in this movie tonight, I never knew a bad angels were made of black rock candy with barbecues for hearts. And they built the ark for Noah. This is like a video game. The video game Bible. I couldn't believe that God allowed all these Democrats to slither onto the ark. Yeah, when they said, here they come, all the animals, and all the snakes were going in first. Yeah, typical Democrats. They were, and there was only one bear trap in the movie, and Noah's son lost his girlfriend, who just happened to step in it. The whole forest. Yeah, unbelievable. And then the evil one was stowed away on the ark, and he was killed eventually. And the possible murder of Noah was going to murder the babies if they were girls, because he believed God didn't want us to multiply anymore. And so now when I go to the pro-choice meetings and I speak as a guest opponent, when I close, as they start to go for the somebody yells, somebody get a rope, I close with these words: go forth now and multiply and be fruitful. Yeah, that's just what they want to hear. I only tell women what they want to hear. I used to tease my wife. I used to say, I know what every woman is thinking, or they go ape poop. When a man says that, and they'll look at me like, oh yeah, well what am I thinking right now? I said, I know what every woman is thinking in this room right now. Oh yeah, what's that? What a jerk this guy is. You're right. How did you know? Yeah. Okay. So that's the Noah story. Let's see, the only redeeming feature. Oh, the possible murder of two baby girls was a challenge to the mercy of God, who also avoided this movie. The only redeeming feature was the previews of coming attractions of a kid who went to heaven and came back. That movie looks good. See that movie. You will get a warm feeling in your heart. You'll feel human again instead of becoming an American castaway. So then, this morning, I turned on the Benghazi hearings, the Benghazi cover-up hearings, foisted on the American people by the cover-up party. Yeah, you can say what you want about Republicans, but they can't cover up. They're not smart enough. You need devious Democrats to cover up things. What do you mean, groping Catherine Willie? I never threatened her cat. Come on. Do I look? You know who you're talking to. You're talking to the President of the United States. I give this office its credibility. I never never had harmonica lessons from that woman. Yeah, unbelievable, man. Yeah, that's why the kids in kindergarten call him President Pinocchio Pants. Yeah, every time he lies, his nose gets longer. Okay, so I turned on the hearings, and what do I hear? And I'm dying to find out who this shill is. His name is Ruppersberger. And I said, this guy's got to be a Democrat the way he's talking. And I look him up. Sure enough, he's a Democrat from Maryland. So I addressed his issue. Congress Mouse Ruppersberger, the great deflector, attempted to sideline the Benghazi hearings. Now, how he did it, he says, we have to go after the people that committed this murder by taking the focus of this party of death, taking the focus off this party of death. He demanded that we concentrate on the killers of Benghazi and end the hearings on the real killers of Benghazi. And the commander-in-chief is one of the main killers who left the battlefield and took no phone calls. The Secretary of State, who hung up the phone on cries for help, then said, who cares how they died? The Secretary of Half-Assed Defense, who said, when asked, why no attempt to rescue the guys on the roof? You know what he said? We can't go in guns a-blazing not knowing the territory. Hey, I grew up in... every other block had its own gang. You knew the territory before you walked in it. So sounds like he's the secretary of his own defense. While true Americans were bleeding out, the party of death to little children was planning their cover-up story. I made a comment today that being that Obama has suggested that New York City can take an A-bomb, to Al-Qaeda. He says he's not worried about the Middle East. He's worried about Al-Qaeda sending an A-bomb to New York. And I just hope he didn't give him any ideas. But what I was going to say is I'm sure that the CIA, the State Department, and the Obama administration, including all those who want to take your guns away and kill your kids and dumb them down in communist cucumber schools so that they can stand up in Congress and say we have to bring in foreigners because our children are too dumb to do the jobs that are required in Silicon Valley. Yes, soon you'll be a peon in your own country and you'll be peoned. Yeah, peed-oned. So, having said that, what was I going to tell you? What was my crux? So, let me see. While true Americans were bleeding out, the party of death to little children was planning their cover-up story. That's what I was going to tell you. You can rest assured that they already have the speech written for the first nuclear hit. I think it's speech number 27. New York? Was it New York that got it? Give me 27. Or was it Los Angeles? Oh, give me 28. Boston? Oh, give me 29. My fellow Americans with a heavy heart today, we're going to investigate. We're going to turn this over to the FBI. There's no more New York. Yeah. But we did see a plane fly over with the markings MH370. Yeah. You know what? You can't make this stuff up, right? You can't make it up, man. These people already have. You don't think that they know in their war games that they're going to lose a city? They know that. Now the question is, do we strike back after we lose the city? Oh, we can't do that. No. You know what we'll do? We'll call for an investigation, and we'll appoint the committee after 2 o'clock. Yes, and then we'll have a report. We'll get a report, 1,500 pages, and we'll tell everybody it's the same as the health care bill, and nobody will read it. So while true Americans were bleeding out, the party of death to little children was planning their cover-up story. Stooges like Ruppersberger played a role in Blame and Deflect, a communism tactic from a communist party. We must not play into liars' hands. As long as one mother wants the truth about how her son was betrayed, she must get the answers to her questions. Because the most precious treasure is a mother's treasure, and that's her son. So, having said that, maybe we'll give you a Flamingos. Did you like that opening tune? I Only Have Eyes for You. That's how guys used to sing about girls. Now, they're really in a burqa, but they don't know it. Did you like that? Sweet music, right? Innocent music. Innocent. You have no idea. You have no idea how much morality has been lost in this country. It wasn't that we weren't as dirty as the other people, but you didn't get a chance to ply your trade. Yeah, you know what you got? You got to trip up to the roof, and some girl's father would show you what the street below looks like. Yeah, what are you going to do, right? Okay, so what are we going to do for you tonight? We're going to talk about Joe McCarthy. Joe McCarthy was the Don Quixote of the 50s, fighting communism all alone. And he took on more than he could handle, and eventually it crushed him. But he was valiant in his effort, and he exposed a lot of communists in government. And when the Venona Papers came out when the Soviet Union fell,
99% of all his accusations turned out to be true. And the biggest regret that the people who discovered it found was that he missed a lot. There were more communists than even he thought were taking down the country. So when I give you this, I'm going to give you the last chapter in the book about McCarthy. And you're going to hear names. You're not going to know who they are. But just take it from me that he had enemies in the Democrat Party, a lot of enemies in the Democrat Party, because there were a lot of communists in the Democrat Party, and there's more communists in the Democrat Party today than there were back then. The Republican Party, because he was challenging their establishment under Eisenhower. So he had two. He had his own party as an enemy. He was a Republican. He had the Democrats who wanted to destroy him. He had the communists who had to stop him. He had Hollywood who hated his guts because many in Hollywood were communist sympathizers. And the penetration of the State Department, the OSS, the UN, all took place while McCarthy was screaming, "We've got communists everywhere," and he was right. So let me start off with McCarthy 1.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Tonight, we're going to talk to you about Joseph McCarthy. For years, the communists have used the label to shut down opposition, their one-word label, McCarthyism. So whenever you speak up, they will label you a McCarthyite. Many people, most people, don't even know what that means today because McCarthy lived in the 50s. But I'll give you a little background. I read the book by M. Stanton Evans, who in his book indicates that he was a McCarthy fan. And his book is entitled Blacklisted by History. And here, I'll tell you what you'll get if you look into the life of McCarthy. And I did it only very lightly. But I think you'll find him. You look into the life of McCarthy. One, there were a lot of communists in the U.S. government. They were in the OSS from World War II days all the way to the State Department, all the way to Los Alamos. The Soviet Union had very efficiently penetrated the United States government and the U.S. military. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are as penetrated today. When you see alleged KGB agent Snowden being lauded in the media as a Second Amendment, a First Amendment hero. When in effect, he is probably responsible for the murder of CIA agents all over the world. Because when he stole 800,000 documents and turned them over to China, they sorted through what they wanted and said, take the rest to Russia. And Russia sorted through what they wanted. And then they released to WikiLeaks the documents that they wanted the public to see. But the ones that had the names of American agents throughout the world, they went on a kill list. And that's why I say Snowden is KGB. He didn't sell out his country for First Amendment rights. He sold out his country because he hates it. So having said that, I'm going to give you a little browser on McCarthy. McCarthy served in World War II. He was a tail gunner on a B-29, I believe, and also a camera operator. And I also believe he's from the state of Wisconsin, and he came back after the war, and he ran for political office, and he became a senator. He worked his way up to the Senate. Definitely an Irish Catholic. A drinker, and a God and Country man. Okay? And that's enough reason to drink right there. But he saw his government being infiltrated by the Soviet Union. And there were spies in the U.S. government who were taking a Soviet paycheck. So let's face it, if you're an American and you're taking a Soviet paycheck in exchange for American secrets, you're a traitor, and you should have got a firing squad. Now, the OSS is lauded throughout the history of American history of World War II. Wild Bill Donovan was the first founder, and he built a spy organization to compete against any other spy organization. But as the war progressed and we became more of a winner, the organization was infiltrated. And what happens when communists infiltrate an organization, they go for positions where they can help other communists come in, and they piggyback and leapfrog into other commands. So coming in through the OSS, they ended up in the State Department. There are stories that certain scientists at Los Alamos were communists. There was communist cells at Los Alamos that were spying on other communist cells, not knowing that they were communists, because the Russians are great at masking things, like faking the collapse of the Soviet Union to disarm the United States. According to Jimmy from Brooklyn, that's a theory. So anyway, McCarthy went and he started to get dirt on a lot of people. And he also discovered that the Signal Corps at Fort Monmouth in New Jersey was riddled with communist agents. And the State Department, no department wants to look wide open and vulnerable, and the State Department covered its tracks. But by the same token, they were putting people in positions, communists in positions of power and influence. In target locations, could be an ambassadorship, it could be somebody advising the president, but for sure, there were plenty of communists to go around. Hollywood was totally infected by communists, and Hollywood hates Joe McCarthy the most, yet it wasn't Joe McCarthy that went after Hollywood. He was going after people in the military and people in government. But you can see that Hollywood, an arm of communism, was used to destroy McCarthy, just as they are used today to destroy the moral fiber of the United States and the patriotic fiber of the United States. Okay? I'll give you one example, and the universities are totally infected with communists and communist sympathizers. Well, most of the professors are communists, and they'll tell you you can't get a job in Hollywood if you're a conservative, and you can't get acceptance in a university unless you lean left. Left is a polite word for communist. So Joe McCarthy made two enemies. Number one, the Communist Party, the International Communist Party, run out of Russia into the United States. So he had the locals here in the United States as enemies. And he also had the military as enemies, because everybody was giving each other medals. Nobody wanted to be identified as somebody who was duped by a communist friends. Okay? So in looking over the success of the Soviet Union in penetrating the U.S. government, and if you look at the 45 goals of the Communist Party in 1962, as listed in the congressional record, you will find of the 45 goals, they have reached every one of them. And not only that, one of the goals was to gain control of one or both of the two political parties in the United States. And if you look at the Democrat Party today, it is the Communist Party. And it is being run by a communist, a man who was indoctrinated as a child. So when a guy like Aaron Klein does a book, The Manchurian Candidate, about Barack Obama, Aaron Klein knows full well what he writes about. So back to McCarthy. In the beginning, McCarthy had a great following, and even Bobby Kennedy worked for him. And as a matter of fact, McCarthy dated one of the Kennedy daughters. Now, McCarthy was a Republican, and Kennedy's a Democrat. One thing that cannot be denied, he was very patriotic, and he was a God and country boy. He also had on his staff a fellow named Roy Cohen, who was a very sharp lawyer, who got to the bottom of things, and his weakness was he was homosexual. And the first thing the communists do is to bring out the label machine. And the label machine ranges from racist to a homophobe today, anti-Semitic. These are all tools that the party has to destroy anybody who gets in their way. Now, you got to remember that in Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin was swallowing up countries like they were salads. And he absorbed Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Eastern Germany, Poland. He was gobbling up, and he was on his way to Greece. He was in Greece. He was trying to pick up Greece. Not only that, also Yugoslavia. So Stalin was having a great run. And in the United States, this was the end of World War II, all America wanted to do was get the hell out of there and come home. And even the American troops that had just defeated Hitler in Germany did not want to go to Japan. They didn't want to go to the Far East to fight that war. And the gut feeling of the average GI there was, I don't want to go there. Four years of war for Americans is about average. If you got to fight a war longer than 4 years, the attrition rate and the demoralization rate weighs very heavily. And so it was a blessing that we got the A-bomb first, because Germany was working on it, Russia was working on it, and Japan was working on it. And we all know that if Japan had had the A-bomb first, they never would have used it on the United States, and definitely Hitler wouldn't. Hitler was very compassionate. All you got to do is look in the concentration camps and see an example of his compassion. So thank God that we got the A-bomb first. And a professor was on a show the other day, and he said, yes, the United States dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima at the end of the war, which is a lie. It happened to be at the end of the war, but it was the two bombs that ended the war. But that professor didn't say that because he was teaching Hate America. And if you want to see examples of Hate America, go to any citizenship swearing-in ceremony in New York City, and probably in other big cities. and listen to the guy telling the new American citizens how the white man hates them. And he's working for the United States government against the United States people. So what happened to McCarthy is he had two enemies arrayed against him. One was the U.S. military, Pentagon people, advisors to Eisenhower, and advisors to Harry Truman. Nobody wanted to be accused of having communists on their staff or as advisors. So he had two great opponents arrayed against him, and the media also. And now you've come to realize, if you don't by now, you'll never know, that the media is the one who elects the president. It's not you, it's not me, it's the media. And it's the media who destroys the opposition. Sarah Palin can see Russia from her kitchen window. That's called assassination by ridicule. And that's a Lenin tactic. So the influence of communism in the United States is very great, it's very heavy, and they play a lot of cards. And they turn the poor against the rich while taking money from the rich. Yeah, they're great players. Like Jimmy says, when the communists win, they win. And when they lose, they win. So hang in there a second. Now, you got to remember the time of the McCarthy era. This is in the 50s. And what has happened in the 50s? We have lost China to communism. The entire country of China is now under the control of Mao Zedong and Chou Enlai and all of those boys. Okay? Stalin has gathered up as many countries as he possibly could get his hands on. And communism is on a roll internationally. And communism is no stranger to the United States. I just learned recently from Jimmy from Brooklyn, who knows everything there is to know about these people, that Herbert Hoover, in his administration, at the time of his administration, had a communist revolution going on in the United States. And it was perpetrated by Leninists sent from Russia to do that very thing, to arouse the people to overthrow the government. And you know what Herbert Hoover did? He rounded them all up and he sent them back to Russia. And that's why Herbert Hoover is Jimmy's hero. So, Joe McCarthy was eventually taken down by his enemies. And he died very young, and I'm sure he died a broken man, and he had a drinking problem. And I'm sure that the pressure of the job added to it. But nobody knows what McCarthy did or the good that McCarthy did. With his list of names that he was mocked for, when the Venona Papers were finally revealed to the American public when the Soviet Union supposedly collapsed, many of the names, if not all of the names, that McCarthy had on his lists were all verified by Soviet KGB and the NKVD. And there's another one, I forget. And somebody said McCarthy didn't have enough names. There were many names that he missed. So there were a lot of communists in the United States, and it was a vogue thing for the people of Hollywood to play communist. But you know, one thing about communism, the man on the top makes all the money, and everybody else dies. They usually kill the people close to them, like Stalin killed 40,000 officers he didn't trust. And then he started to kill all the Jewish doctors in Russia because he didn't trust them. And I've read in a couple of places that in 1953 he planned to do what Hitler did to the Jews. As a matter of fact, I got a book I'm getting ready to read, Stalin and the Jews. And he, God gave him a stroke. And so he couldn't carry out the mission. But he was an evil man. And that's one thing that bothers me, because the communists are still around. They didn't lose the war. The Germans lost the war. The Nazis lost the war. That's the National Socialist Party that lost the war to the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Both are socialists. The only difference between a Nazi and a communist is the uniform. And they both use the same tactics. As a matter of fact, I just recently learned that when the Soviets liberated the concentration camps in Eastern Europe, and they released everybody that was in there, they immediately filled the concentration camps with their enemies. They didn't put them out of business. So what happened was Joe McCarthy fell from grace, and the media came in to finish him off. His enemies in the U.S. Army came in to finish him off, and the House and the Senate, both sides of the party, came in to finish him off. And I'm sure Harry Truman was glad to see him go. Also Eisenhower, because their image is at stake. And he died not too long after that. And he died at 48 years old. But the thing that I get, there's two things I get from reading this book. One, a lot of the communists that are listed in the book have Jewish names. Now, if you're Jewish and you just saw what Hitler did to 6 million of your people, men, women, and little children, and you saw the Führer and his Führer agitate a whole country against one group of people, and the end result was the slaughter of those people. If you see somebody in the United States coming up and he's starting to read a list of Jewish names, if I was Jewish, I would be very nervous. I would be very nervous. Because what happened once could happen twice. And I think that there was a great Jewish opposition to McCarthy because they were afraid he was anti-Semitic. Whether or not he was, I don't think so. But I'll tell you who my favorite hero is from the people of that time. He's my number one Jewish hero. His name is Judge Kaufman. Do you know who Judge Kaufman is? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. 90%, if you ask 90% of the people, I couldn't tell you. Do you know who the Rosenbergs are? They were two spies for the Soviet Union. And they were convicted of spying and giving atomic secrets to the Russians. And as their punishment, they were sentenced to die in the electric chair for treason. Do you know who sentenced them to die in the electric chair? Judge Kaufman, a Jewish graduate of Fordham Law School. Now, what you got to do, if you really want to know what went on at that time, you got to read Judge Kaufman's sentencing of the Rosenbergs. And when you do, you will know more about the feeling at that time of Americans and the threat of the Soviet Union. And as a result of Stalin's successes and receiving the A-bomb plans, we went into a Cold War for 50 years. And you can see the number of nukes in the world today and all the games that are being played around nukes. So, in my opinion, there was only one Joe McCarthy, and there were very few other people that were fighting to protect the security of the United States. There's nobody else, really. So having said that, I'm going to read you the last chapter and remind you that the author of this book is Pro McCarthy. Okay?
What happened?
Thank you.
minute and 25 seconds left. We shall go out. That was Maynard Ferguson. Fantastic range for a trumpet player. And we will go out with the Flamingos. We came in with the Flamingos. We'll go out with the Flamingos. Mi amore.
Mi amore.
Take my lips and kiss them.
Take my love.
Take my hands and hold them. My eyes, let them show you.
Never run cold.